You're listening to 3 and 30 Takeaways for Moms, and this episode is sponsored by Kneaders Bakery and Cafe, a taste of home in every bite. I truly love Kneaders. In fact, I always chose them to cater my Declutter Your Motherhood workshops when I taught them live in Idaho and Utah. The women in attendance loved the bacon avocado sandwich on focaccia, and Kneaders was always a home run because everything in their cafe is made fresh from scratch. It tastes just like homemade. Today's episode is all about building a resilient community as a mom, and it makes me want to get together with my friends and family and have a delicious Kneaders lunch together. I could really go for one of their fresh salads or soups, and of course their famous fruit tarts and mint brownies for dessert. You can't go wrong with the homemade, tasty quality that Kneaders serves. Whether it's for a big family event, church, work, or even just a friend gathering, Kneaders Catering is a fantastic option. Use code 3and30 for $2 off an entree when you order through the Kneaders app or through their website through May 15th. When you use that code, they'll know that 3and30 sent you and that we appreciate their support of the show. So go to Kneaders website or app to place your lunch order. That's Kneaders, and use the discount code 3and30. Welcome to 3 and 30, a podcast to help you feel more like yourself within your motherhood. Each 30-minute episode features three actionable takeaways to help you become a more self-assured mom, someone who knows yourself, honors your needs, and loves your people. Listen in to feel encouraged as we learn together how to overcome overwhelm and find more magic in motherhood. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. I'm so glad you're here. How strong is your sense of community right now? Do you feel a part of a supportive neighborhood, friend group, church, or club? Do you have people you feel comfortable calling or turning to with your wins and losses in life? Do you feel like the people in your real life circles truly know you? If you're thinking, sorta not really, you are not alone on that. I myself have struggled with building community the past few years, and that's why I'm so thrilled to be interviewing Jen Banks today. Jen is a mother of three young boys, as well as the owner of an in-home preschool and the founder of the podcast A is for Adversity. She is passionate about building community and building women. And in today's episode, we'll be talking about resilient community, what that means, why it matters, and how we can work on developing it in our busy lives as moms. So with no further ado, here's my conversation with Jen Banks. Jen, welcome to 3 and 30.
Thank you so much. An honor to be here.
Well, I am so excited to talk to you today about building a resilient community. I have to admit up front that this is not my strength, or at least it hasn't been my strength the last 5 years or so. And so it was good for me as I read over your takeaways to think about my own journey with community and how it has been a little bit lacking for me since my kids have gotten older. I think when they were younger, there was more natural opportunity to meet up with moms for play dates, to engage with the moms at the preschool. I wasn't working as much, so I wasn't as busy in a lot of ways. And so I would seek out more opportunities for community. And as my kids have started school, as my work has amped up, I've just sort of put my head down and focused on my own family and my work, but I am missing out on the blessings of a deeper community and of close female friendships. And so I'm eager to learn from you today. And I want to just start by asking, before we get into our takeaways of how to build community, let's just start with a little bit of an overarching why. Why does this matter to you, Jen? Why are you passionate about building resilient community?
That's a great question. And I love starting with the why before we jump in. I, like you, am passionate about words. And so even just the title, building a resilient community, that is different than just any community. So having those close friends, having the people that support you, having people to turn to, whether you have family near or far, just another support group or network that is just cheering you on and being there for you. We hear that loneliness is a big problem right now. And so just making community where you're at.
It's so true. And the idea of resilient, it's something that can withstand hard times. It's something that is, I think of like a stability or a support to get you through. And that in times past where I have had more resilient community, I have absolutely leaned on them in times when I really needed them. And in some ways, I do still have that, but I've just found that it's more online because my work is online. So I have a lot of very close online friends, people I've met through my podcast, former podcast guests or other podcast hosts, and we'll Marco Polo and we'll be in touch and we support each other. But there's just something about that in-person community that I think we all need, someone to turn to in our own town that we can go to when we have an issue with one of our kids and we need some help, whatever it might be. So I'm excited to learn from you. How do we do this? And let's go ahead and jump into your first takeaway.
Perfect. Yes. My first takeaway is create. And this is for defining a physical area, because as you mentioned, with our world mostly virtual with a lot of things, we need to define a physical space so we can narrow our energy and where we're going to focus. This doesn't mean we exclude people, but it's just a way to give it a container, so to speak. And so we define that physical space. I live by a school, and so we call the houses around the school the U-shape. And so that's our physical space that we've defined as our, you know, nearby community.
Mm. And so once you've created that sort of container for, you know, your idea of a community, what do you do from there to try to build it within that community?
Yes. So I think it's important to include both the good and the bad. And what I mean by that is you have to have somebody to tell the good stuff to, and you have to have somebody to tell the bad stuff to, or the hard stuff. My in-laws, they created a neighborhood block, and it's their cul-de-sac. Normally, that's a natural way to define physical space. And they created a Facebook group to go along with it. And I really loved the description, and it said, "It's my wish that we can come to really know our neighbors and to be part of a community who rallies around each other." And so I just love that rallies word, because, you know, we do need cheerleaders and people to buoy us up. And so they've had s'mores, barbecue takeout, and fire pits. Then they've also had, you know, service projects or asked for things that are needed in times of want. And so it's just a way to connect once you've established that container, is you've created it and then you create a way to gather or be together.
Mm. I love what you said, Jen, about how this isn't about excluding anyone. It's just when you create a container, it's a place to start. And without that, it's often like, well, where would I even start? Like, it's just too big or too broad, too nebulous to really know. So you're like, all right, we're going to start with our block. And of course, if there's people who live three houses outside of our block that hear about it and want to attend, they can come to the barbecue. We're not going to be like, nope, you don't live in this tiny radius, so you're not allowed to come. But it at least gives you a way to sort of wrap your mind around the idea of starting to reach out to people, building a neighborhood connection. Can you think of other ways that people might create these sort of containers that aren't necessarily geographical, but that can also sort of create a space for them to start working on community?
Yeah, good question. I feel like interest is a huge one, because especially as moms, sometimes our interests get put on the back burner or we forget about them, but really bringing our interests to the forefront and using that as a way to collaborate and connect. So I'm part of a book club in the neighborhood. And again, it's the name of the book club is My Neighborhood Book Club, East Lake. And a couple people have trickled in from other parts. And like you said, it's a starting place. It has to be established in order for it to get momentum or for anyone to know that it's even there. So even if you start with a book club of two or a sewing group or a calligraphy class, whatever brings you joy, just start gathering and then it could become a container.
Mm. I love that. And I do have one positive experience from the last few years where we initiated some community fun, and I'm feeling inspired that I need to do more of that this summer. But a couple of summers ago, we bought new lawn furniture and it was really expensive. And so to justify it to myself, because I was kind of mad at myself, you know, it was just like it arrived. And then I'm like, I probably shouldn't have spent this money on this. Are we even going to use this? And then I thought, yes, we are going to use this. And I am going to invite over a different family every Sunday night for dessert through the summer, anytime that we're in town. And I did that. And we used that lawn furniture. And we invited over families from church. But one particular night that I will remember that was probably my favorite night of the summer was we invited our neighbors. And we live in kind of a unique street that's not part of a neighborhood. Mm. It's on a little bit of a busier road. And there's like some apartments and there's some duplexes. And then there's our house. There's just a couple of houses. So it just is not, it's not really that conducive to a feeling of neighborhood and community. There's not a lot of other children. In fact, there's no other children really right here. And so we just hadn't really gotten to know our neighbors ever. But I reached out to those that are right around us, the houses and condos that are right around us, and just invited them over for dessert. And three families came, and it was delightful. And it wasn't as awkward as I was fearing. And we had like chatted in the yard before. So it's not like we were perfect strangers, but they came over, we all got together, and everyone told me how much they enjoyed it. We exchanged phone numbers, which we hadn't done before. Mm-hmm. And it's not like we're all besties now, but I have had two of those families reach out to me when they needed some help with something. One, when they were out of town and they needed help getting their trash cans out for trash day. Mm-hmm. And another, when she was stuck in the snow and needed some help pushing her car out. And that's, I mean, that is a starting place for resilient community, because now I know that I can reach out to them if I'm in a bind and they know a little bit more about our family. And it's more than just like a wave on the street. We've started something with building community here.
Yes, exactly. I feel like it's just opening the door for what could come along and what could be built. And like you said, you don't have to be besties, but it does kind of bridge the gap just for knowing them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's take a quick break to thank this episode's sponsors. This podcast is sponsored by KiwiCo, a monthly subscription box of seriously fun and enriching art and learning projects for kids of all ages. If you're new to KiwiCo boxes, let me tell you a bit about how this genius subscription works. Each month, kids receive a box packed with engaging hands-on activities designed to introduce them to science, engineering, technology, and art concepts. They have the coolest projects like engineering robots or learning about the science of ice cream. I have really enjoyed watching my kids' creative confidence grow over the years with their KiwiCrate projects. From making their own rainbow pillows when they were young, to building a mechanical sweeper that could actually pick up dominoes, to now doing even more legit engineering projects like building headphones for Noah and concocting slime for Sally. KiwiCo is a fantastic resource for kids of all ages. Redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at kiwico.com with promo code 3and30. That's 50% off your first month at kiwico.com, promo code 3and30. This episode is sponsored by PrepDish, a meal planning service to set you up for a successful week of recipes that fit your family, complete with a shopping list. A little bit about how PrepDish works. Every week, the founder, Allison, will send you four meal prep options: gluten-free, paleo, low-carb, and super-fast. I love the super-fast option, and it tends to be kid-friendly, too. You'll get an organized grocery list and a step-by-step meal prep plan, so you can spend 1 to 2 hours batch-prepping all of the ingredients for the week in one session. Then it will be easy to throw together a healthy dinner on your busy weeknights with the simple dish day instructions. I love everything about this service. PrepDish aligns so well with what I talk about with guests on 3 and 30, and in my Declutter Your Motherhood course about figuring out how to simplify your mom life. Allison is a mom herself and totally gets it. She has simplified what can truly be a grueling process of planning, prepping, and getting dinner on the table to make it a more streamlined process for all of us busy moms out there. If you've thought about trying PrepDish, now is a great time to check out the free trial. Check out prepdish.com/3and30 for this amazing deal. Again, that's PrepDish, PrepDish.com/3and30 for your first 2 weeks free. Let me know how you like it. So what's your second takeaway after we've created this container? What comes next?
To build on container and creating, next is collaborating. And this is...
I have to add, Jen, I love that you used all C's.
Yes, I knew you'd notice that. Yes.
The alliterative takeaways. You're speaking my language. So, okay, collaborate. Tell us more about this.
Yes. So it builds right on creating. And it's different than just talking. It's collaborating. It's finding something deeper to discuss. So I liked the quote, friends are made in the moments we say me too. So if you can connect on something, then you can collaborate on something. And I also host a podcast. And last year, I was really trying to grow my audience. And I tried so many of the traditional things, you know, social media and even putting an ad on the radio, but nothing was gaining traction. And it just seemed like I couldn't get out of my bubble, you know, my family and friends who are already listening. So I decided to say, and it's interesting in retrospect, because at the time I wasn't necessarily thinking that this is what I was doing, but I decided to compile a directory for local businesses because that's a resource that I wanted. And just by doing that, it was putting myself in the community. It was meeting other business owners and entrepreneurs. It was, yeah, finding a new network, a new community, and then collaborating within that. And so a year later, it's turned into what we've called Daybreak Business Community. And we have workshops and we support local and small, and we work on branding and just whatever everyone needs at the time. And it truly has helped. And so that's one way where I've been able to collaborate. If you're not into business, you know, there's many ways to do it besides that. But I'm grateful I was able to find a way to contribute to my neighborhood and in a way that feels purposeful for what I'm interested in.
Yeah, I love that example of sort of taking a need in your own life and then thinking, I bet other people have this need too. And so how can we all come together to support and grow each other's businesses and get the word out? I would love to know what my neighbors do for work. That way, if I ever needed that service, I could call on somebody who I knew personally, who I knew was a small business, a family-owned business that I wanted to support. But I honestly don't even know what the people around me do for work. So what a unique way to collaborate, to grow your business and to also support others. And I love that you said, you know, if business isn't your thing, think outside the box on what you might be needing in your life. And is there a way to collaborate with the people around you in some way? I have a couple of friends. I'm so jealous of them. I want this. They have like a salad club with some of the ladies in their neighborhood, where they will, I don't know exactly how it works, but I think it's like every 2 weeks they're in charge of making all the salads for like 10 women. Mm. And then they just drop them off at their houses and they just like leave them on the porch. Perfect. So they get a new, fresh, fun salad every day, and they only have to do it once every 2 weeks for all the people that live right there.
Wow.
So you can get really creative thinking, okay, all of us struggle with not having a healthy lunch during the day. And we can combine forces and have a little chat, say hello to the person dropping off the salad, and then get this nutritious meal. So really creative, think outside the box of ways that you can collaborate and build this community.
Yeah, that is really true, because the ones that come to mind are homeschool co-ops or like a community orchestra. But you're right, it can be totally out of the box. And once you start brainstorming, that allows the door for possibility to just go.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then what's your third and final takeaway for us?
Okay, so third takeaway is celebrate. Also begins with C, though it sounds like an S, of course. But I kind of got this from BJ Fogg that you always quote about the habits. And so celebrating is the way to kind of make it stick or make it fun, make it stay, make you want to do it. I love the quote, shared joy is double joy. Shared sorrow is half a sorrow. And so just celebrating people as they are, whatever life stage they're in. And that is so impactful in just feeling seen and heard. I feel like that's a lot of what's missing in life, is just truly being seen for who you are and not just another person or another neighbor. What also came to mind too is there's a YouTube video. It's so old. I was surprised it was still around. I brought it up to show my husband, but there's this employee who validates parking, and he kind of took the word validate to a new level, and he was just giving them compliments or telling them what he liked about them, or, you know, saying whatever came to mind. And so pretty soon the line was so long for people just wanting to be validated. And so, you know, just
literally and emotionally.
Yeah, exactly. So just celebrating with people, meeting them where they're at, and getting together with that. like you, I love half birthdays. I love holidays, traditions, those types of things.
Any reason to get together and to celebrate the people in our lives in big and small, their big and small accomplishments is so special and important. I have a friend who, when I first started my podcast, was one of my biggest cheerleaders. And when the podcast was 6 months, speaking of half birthdays, I remember I think I did a post on my Instagram of like, it's the half birthday of the podcast. It's been 6 months. And she saw it and she texted me and said, I want to celebrate that you've made this milestone of 6 months. And so I invited a couple of ladies over and we're going to have lunch on Wednesday, which that alone would have been so nice that she even thought of that. But when I showed up, she had gone a step beyond that and she had gotten like a little notebook, a beautiful hardcover notebook that said like ideas or something on the front that she gave to me for me to think about. You know, she said, I'm so proud of you and everything you're creating and you can write your ideas in here. But she had had the women there each write down something that they'd learned from my podcast inside of the book. Wow. And I'm a words of affirmation person. So this was like so special for me, such a good friend who took the time to think about that this was an important milestone in my life and to acknowledge that and celebrate that with me. What a good friend. And I want to be that way for other people.
Yeah, so true. And I love how these takeaways are all interconnected because we've talked about collaborating and creating. And of course, there are many ways to celebrate each other. You can get outside of the box again, like we were talking about with the last takeaway. Maybe you have a paint night. Maybe you have a favorite things party. Or my favorite is my annual pumpkin potluck. And so we celebrate fall, we celebrate pumpkins, and, you know, it's just something that's important to me, but kind of funny. And, you know, there's no such thing as a bad idea. I feel like the book that helped me a lot with this, too, is The Art of Gathering. I really got a lot of takeaways from that. And she talks about inviting people for brunch or, you know, like a Sunday brunch, because people are always thinking, oh, I have to invite some people to dinner, or it's overwhelming. But you can really just start small. You can meet at a park. You know, it doesn't have to be a grandiose way to gather as long as you're just gathering.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I decided to do dessert that one summer, because I am not a great cook. And the idea of having people in my home for dinner was stressful for me. But I thought, well, I can do dessert. Actually, baking is fun for me. And so it just sort of was a little bit lower pressure for me. And so it made it possible for me to actually do it. And I love the idea of the pumpkin potluck. I love the idea of sort of creating a tradition for yourself of, like, my older sister just recently started throwing a Galentine's Day party. And so every year she sort of remembers the date on the month, Valentine's month comes around, and she's like, oh yeah, this is an opportunity for me to get my girlfriends together and do something fun and different. And it's also nice when it's not a holiday that's traditionally super busy for people. So she picks, obviously, she doesn't do Valentine's Day night because people might want to be with their partner or their family that night. So she picks another night in February. But just creating some sort of fun little traditions that you can do. I remember I had a guest on my show, Jessica Dahlquist, talked about doing a hearty party around Valentine's month that it was sort of along that theme. One of my brothers-in-law does what he calls the Jelly Bean Olympics in July every year. And he actually got this idea from our great uncle. So it's something that my husband's grandpa's brother. So this is roundabout, but has been hosting these Jelly Bean Olympics in his town for years. And he told the family about it. And my brother-in-law took it and ran with it. So it's sort of like this family tradition that has been passed on. And now Nate's doing it in his town. And it's basically like scavenger hunt events. Mm-hmm. And you get different number of jelly beans based on if you win, what prize you win. And then at the end, the person with the most jelly beans is the winner. And they have an adult league and a kid league, so the parents can participate too. And it's just become such a fun bonding thing for their neighborhood that I think everybody looks forward to every summer, the annual Jelly Bean Olympics. So what a fun way to bring community together, parents and kids, and just have a blast.
So true. I love that. I love hearing the unique ways people gather, because it is so interesting and tailored to each family and what's important to them. And I feel like ever since COVID, we've just craved more and more of that. So getting together, no matter what the reason.
Yeah. Well, Jen, this has been such fun and so insightful. I hope women listening are thinking about ways that they can start to build their own resilient community with these three C's, these three takeaways that you've given us. And before we end, I want to ask you a little bit more about your work. Tell us about your podcast and where women can learn more from you.
Yes, thank you for that. My podcast is called A is for Adversity, and I talk about how challenges refine our character, especially within motherhood, because that's the stage I'm at right now. And I will be writing a book this April, and I'm excited about just furthering my work. And I help women figure out what lights them up beyond motherhood or alongside motherhood. I thought that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom and love it, but like you, I didn't always love every moment of motherhood. And so just building on that, and some women are totally fulfilled in motherhood and they thrive on it, and that is amazing. And some women are fulfilled alongside motherhood with other ways, and that is amazing too. And so just knowing ourselves and what energy we bring, that is the work that I do.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I've been a guest on your show, so we can link that in the show notes if people want to listen to my episode over there. I'm so grateful for all of the good work you're doing for women in your real life, in your real neighborhood, as well as online through your podcast. And thank you so much for coming on and teaching us about this important topic.
Well, thank you for having me, Rachel.
I am feeling inspired to recommit to community in the coming months, and I hope that you are too. I loved Jen's three takeaways, which all begin with C, for how we can build resilient community wherever we are right now in our lives. And as a recap, her takeaways are, first, create. Create a container for where you will start to reach out to others. Defining an area helps you to narrow your focus and energy as you begin your quest for community. Often this can be a geographical area, such as your street or cul-de-sac, but it might also include an area of interest, such as a book club or the moms in your school's PTA. The point of narrowing isn't to leave anyone out, it's to give you a manageable place to start, or else you might not start at all. Second, collaborate. Collaborate with others within that container you've identified to support each other and build on shared interests and skills. Find out about each other and invest in knowing each other more deeply so you can support each other more deeply. What do people do for work? Can you support each other's businesses? Can you get your kids together for playdates? Where can you work together to enrich the lives of everyone in your circle? And third and finally, celebrate. Celebrate the successes of others in your community by validating and encouraging them, and celebrate together the happy and fun things in life, such as holidays or seasons. I love the quote Jen shared in the episode that shared joy is double joy, shared sorrow is half sorrow. Let's double our joy by sharing it with others, by coming up with meaningful traditions that are just fun, whether that's a monthly girls' night out, an annual Valentine's Day party, or neighborhood Olympics in the summer. Get creative, get brave, and invite others around you to join you in your joy. I know they will thank you for it. I also have to add that I saw the coolest video on Instagram this past week and immediately thought of this episode. Online educator Kelsey Pomeroy, whose Instagram handle is KelseyWhatElse, talked about how friendshipping and community building should be valued as part of the domestic labor that women do on behalf of their families, in the same way that networking is valued for business people. Because when you build your network, you bless the emotional well-being and even financial well-being of your entire family. When you have a community of mom friends, you have people to ask about difficult issues you're facing with your kids instead of having to pay to see a doctor or specialist unless that ends up being necessary. You hear about great deals and connect with other women when you're selling or buying cars, trying to find the best house to purchase, etc. You have someone who will occasionally watch your kids for you for free so you don't have to pay a nanny. I thought this was an incredible point. You are blessing your family in so many ways when you build a resilient community. So if you need permission to prioritize time for this, think about it this way. You are networking, and that matters. My friends, if you have a great idea for building community, I want to hear from you. Maybe you have a fun tradition with your neighborhood or group of girlfriends, or you have an additional insight that you'd like to add to this conversation. Find me on Instagram at 3and30podcast and send me a DM, and I will reshare it to my stories. Let's all learn from each other how to build resilient communities that will bless our lives and the lives of our family. As always, I'm rooting for you, and I hope you have a beautiful week with your family.